I want you to take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And you're going to see a very familiar verse that's not much preached on this anymore. But we're going to preach on it this morning. But you know something? How many times have we had a simple task and we go out and we mess it up? Because we think we know something better and we make something a lot harder than what it really is. We all done that, right? You know, we have the opportunity to mess up stuff. Even a simple task. Here's a guy getting ready to see a morning show. And you're supposed to have a coffee at your morning show, right? And make a sundae. And if you look over on the right-hand side, the man's got the cup upside down. A simple task. And sometimes we just don't do it because we're not thinking about it, right? Some of us think we know more than other people. So we go out, we spend a lot of resources and a lot of things, and we make a shirt that's got the continent of Africa on it, but we say it's Asia. Never happened, right? Never happened, because we think that we know what we know is truth. That's not necessarily the case. We could take something that's really simple. You know, third and fourth graders learn the continents. You know, haven't you ever seen, and when my kids were younger, they see something like that, and they said, "Dad's wrong. That's wrong." See, simple things, children can even figure this out. You know, sometimes we get the direction, we even have a model, we even have an example. And we mess it up. All you had to do is look at the stop sign and paint the same word down there. You know, mankind messes up stuff. This morning, I want to look at the simplicity of salvation. My text verse is John 3:16. You know what mankind has done? It's taken God's simple plan of salvation and it's messed it up. It's messed it up. We have all sorts of people that like to overthink something. And say, "Well, the Bible really doesn't mean this." And so now you have all these religions. Some of them call themselves Christians, but they're not. They've overthought. And as Christ told the Pharisees, he says, "You're now teaching for doctrine the traditions of men instead of the commandments of God." Folks, salvation is based on God's truth.
Amen.
And we don't add to it or we don't subtract from it. If you look in the book of Galatians, it says if anyone preaches any gospel, let him be what? A curse. In Revelation, the last warning of God to the world, don't you add to this, don't you subtract from this, or you'll have the plagues that are in this book. Why do we hear such clear guidance from God's Word that we overthink things? And people have overthought salvation. And they said, "Well, yeah, believing in Christ, but you got to do this other book. Or you believe in Christ, but you got to get baptized. That thief on the cross didn't get baptized. He's in heaven. He's proof positive that all you do is believe what God says."
Amen.
Or you could lose your salvation. We're not in the Bible. So the issue is we have people out there that overthink. And folks, my warning to you this morning is don't overthink salvation. As a church, when we witness, don't overthink things. Don't polish it up. Speak God's truth. You know, the other thing about simple things, we're stubborn. We're stubborn. You can't tell me what to do. It can't possibly be what That simple. I mean, I have to do this like a kid? No, I'm not going to do it that way. You know what stubbornness means? You've got pride. And if there's pride in your life, there's no surrender. And if there's no surrender in your life, there's no listening to God. He's not Lord. So this morning, our text verse is this. John 3:16. Everybody knows it. Or should know it. We see it on banners in football stadiums. We see it at baseball thing. But you know something? I wonder if the people that have that banner actually know what it means. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, what? Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. See, what we need to understand out of this scripture is the basic fundamental truth about salvation. Salvation is an act of God. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We can't make it better. It's what God said it is. Amen. And it's only through Jesus Christ. You know, this is probably the most familiar salvation verse in the Bible. It was words spoken by Jesus to a very confused religious man. And if you go over and you look up at the beginning of this, we know that the religious man, his name was what? Nicodemus. See, everybody knows the story. Why don't we share it? Everybody knows the story, but why don't we live the fundamental truths of it? You know, Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, and he had come seeking salvation. We see here in verses 1 through 3, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. You know why he came by night? Because he would have been ostracized by the rest of the Pharisees. Because the rest of the Pharisees, eventually they're going to come and say, we, Abraham's, are dead. Who are you, Jesus? You're doing all this stuff by Satan. And so Nicodemus uses discretion. And sometimes discretion's needed. And it says, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know. Now wait a second, he's just by himself. All the rulers of the synagogue understood this because you know what? You know what Christ was preaching? God's word. You can never go wrong preaching God's word.
Amen.
It's His truth. Just simple word of God. He says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do those miracles that thou doest except God be with him. At least they saw that. Christ said, hey, believe I'm the Son of God for the very work's sake. But you know what? When someone comes to Christ, the thing that you should be coming to Christ for, it's not to get you out of your problems. It's not to fix your mistakes. You need to come to Him as He is. And come to Him as for salvation. So look at what Jesus says. Jesus just blows his mind up. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So he's been told that he must be born again, and he doesn't understand because you can go on, you know the account. He says, wait a second, how can I go back up into my mama and get born again? I won't fit. It doesn't work. And we seem to try to overthink things, and we put it in terms that we can understand. No, folks, if we're trying to understand it, where's your faith? See, faith begins where our thinking stops. And it's talking about trusting in Him. You know, Jesus explained the new birth with this promise of eternal life. And here's the truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, a way of introduction says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. If you think you're going to save, getting saved and you're going to heaven because you're thinking that way, you're going to fall short. You're going to have a sad, sad reality when you pass into eternity. You're going to be one of those people who says, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." Says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." See, Nicodemus was overthinking here. Says, "Neither can he know them because they are" what? "Spiritually discerned." I want you to open your mind up to God this morning. I want you to be receptive to the truth of God. I want the Word of God to change us this morning, individuals and as a church, and for those listening on the internet. So Nicodemus has come seeking salvation. You know, we need to follow the example of Christ. The church's mission is to spread the gospel.
Amen.
We are to fulfill the Great Commission. Therefore, we need to know what John 3:16 is all about. We need to possess salvation.
Right.
See, our task is not to sit here and reason with people. God says, "Come, let us reason together." That person and God. You can't do it. See, our task is not to make the simple things complicated. That's where all these churches, or so-called churches up and down the street are. They've taken something very simple because they didn't want it that way to fulfill their desires, and they've changed it. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul writes a Corinthian church, a church that's messed up in doctrine, a church that's messed up in immorality, a church that's messed up in factionism. "I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Christ, and I'm And they're acting like babies. And Paul talks about this. He says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the word of spirit and of power." Folks, our lives need to reflect the power of God. And if your lives don't reflect the power of God, do you have the power of God? And if you don't have the power of God, you need a relationship with Him today. See, we are to make the deep truth understandable. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches it." You know, there's a lot of people out there that say, "Hey, all you need to do is think positive thoughts, and that'll be it. All you need to do is do good." There's a whole bunch of people out there called Christian scientists. They're neither Christian nor scientist. They're neither. There's people up there saying, "Yeah, but I have another book." No! It's God's Word. "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So how can you know the deep things of God unless the Spirit teach you? You can't have the Spirit of God unless you know Jesus Christ. You can't know Jesus Christ unless you're saved. You can't be saved unless you believe John 3:16.
Amen.
So Jesus is helping a confused man understand, and that's what we're supposed to do. So I'm going to take this verse, I'm going to break it down into three parts. The first thing that we need to understand is that salvation begins with God's love. It says, "For God so loved the world." We need to understand that the same person who wrote this gospel also said that God is love. See, you can't really love until you know God. There's a lot of things that people say, "I'm in love with you." No, you're not. You're in lust. Okay? You're being hormone driven. See, you're being heart driven. See, God is love. And we need to understand love from God's perspective. It says here, it says, "So loved the world." What does that mean? Past tense. You know why? Because God beat us to love. He beat us to love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. "Herein is love, not that we love God," but what? That he loved us. Who loved first? God did. He knew we were going to screw up something simple in the garden. And He made a plan. He knew Jesus was going to have to come down as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He knew we'd mess it up. And he said, I've got to fix it. I'm going to fix it. God's the only one that can fix your mistakes. In a spiritual sense. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation basically means it's a thing paid in full to appease the requirement of God for sin. The wages of sin is what? Death. Christ died on the cross in our place to pay that sin debt. He said it is finished on the thing. It's finished. What? He paid it all for once and for all. Have you asked for God to forgive you of your sins? Do you believe that he died on the cross for you? That's the first step toward salvation. Okay? So, salvation begins with God's love because for God so loved the world, he beat us to love. He loves us in spite of ourselves. You know, there's people out there, it's hard to love. You know, it's hard to handle. You know, we sit there and we will look at a couple and say, how on earth could she love him? Or he love her? How did that happen? I don't understand. Okay? Better question is, how does God love us?
Right.
When we constantly mess up stuff, we take the simple, we make it complicated, we don't listen to him. We don't listen to him. In Romans 5:8, it says, but God commended. He wants to do it. He wants to do it. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. For God's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. How many people have you had break promises to you? How many promises have we broken? I'm so glad God didn't break this one. He promised Adam and Eve in the garden that it was going to come. He promised Moses would come. He promised Joshua is going to come. He promised David is going to come. He promised Daniel is going to come. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, God's salvation begins with God's love because he is love. He beat us to love. He loves us in spite of ourselves. And then his love is all-encompassing. For God so loved the what? The world. That's just not a select set of people like the Seventh Day Adventist thing. We're the select. We're the elect. No. God loved for everybody. Amen. Show me in God's word where you get that bad doctrine. Or that lie. See, God's love begins at the cross and extends to the world. For God so loved the what? The world. God's love is available to every sinner. That's great news. That is wonderful news. Amen. In 1 John 2:2 it says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the what? The Bible tells me so. Understand that simple truth. Salvation begins with God's love. He beat us to love. He loves us in spite of ourselves. His love is all-encompassing. And what we need to do as a church is we need to share that message out of us to the community. We need to do this by example. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, it says, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Paul's writing this to a church in Ephesus. And he's talking to Christians. Folks, you don't think yourself to become a Christian. You don't work yourself to become a Christian. You have faith to become a Christian. And it's not what you say, it's who you are. And you know if you have a relationship or not. And if you don't have a relationship and you know deep down inside, it's time to stop playing games. And it's time to stop being a hypocrite and come to Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how long you've been a member of a church. It doesn't matter how many times you come forward and thought you were saying it was some sort of emotional experience. If you don't know deep down in your heart where you spend eternity, get saved today. Yeah. Period. Because the church is supposed to be of saved people. The reason we have problems in our church today is because there's lost people in the church.
Right.
And how could two walk together except they be what? Agreed. You can't walk if you don't have. You need to have salvation. And then, folks, we're supposed to live, John 3:16, by example. It says, and walk in what? Love. For God so loved the world. God is love. He loved us so much that when we were sinners, He died for us. And we're unwilling to go and tell other people about it. We're unwilling to go out and stand for Christ. We're unwilling to have people know that we're a Christian.
Right.
Folks, we need to get revived.
Yeah. Amen.
How many people have you told the gospel to this week? This month, this year, your lifetime since you've been saved. If you never shared the gospel with someone, how can you even convince yourself that you're saved? Because you don't even believe it to tell other people about it. Oh, folks, we need to share God's word by example. We have to possess it. Not just profess it. Secondly, we needed an expression. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 21, it says, and this commandment have we... Oh, I don't have to do God's commandments anymore because I'm under grace. No. This is what Christ told His disciples. He says, and this commandment have we from who? Him. Jesus. This is right from the Word of God's mouth. That he who loveth God, love his brother also. Christ said this, love the Lord your God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as thyself. On these two things, hang all the commandments. No, you don't have to keep the commandments. You'll do the commandments because you love God. You'll do the commandments because you love your neighbor. And we're not going to get like Peter, well, he's my neighbor. Everyone is. Everyone is. Folks, we don't pick and choose who comes through that door. We don't pick and choose who comes in our path. We need to witness to them. Salvation begins with God's love, and we need to have that message flow out of us as a church. Secondly, salvation rests on the price paid by God's Son. He gave His only begotten Son. Now, to give means change possession. Okay? Gave up. This is proof of God's love. You want to know? Well, God doesn't love me. Look at the cross.
Amen.
Look at what Christ went through for your salvation. And you don't tell me that God doesn't care. God loves you with an everlasting love. Imagine Christ 2,000 years ago in a garden talking to Nicodemus and they're having this discussion. And Christ says, you got to be born of the Spirit to have eternal life. And how this news affected Nicodemus, how does the news of the gospel affect you? You know, what did he learn? Well, he learned that he was religious, but his religion didn't work. Because Christ said, you're teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. You're making the commandments of God of none effect. He says, it's beyond that. The law just shows that you need God. The law just shows that you're not God. Period. He learned that he was religious, but learned his religion could not save him. Quit hiding behind stuff that you think is going to get you to heaven, and then you're going to eternally regret it when you pass into eternity. It's all about Jesus. He hears the best news of his life, that God loved it. For God so loved the what? World. Even you, Nicodemus. Even you. You're part of that group that's not even talking to me. What the law could not do, God's grace accomplish. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In Romans 8:3 it says, for what the law could not do. You can't, well, I've kept the Ten Commandments. Really? You say that, you just lied. I guarantee you haven't. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. See, in the darkness he cried, it is finished. In the darkness, because God turned his back on his Son, because at that time God, Christ became the sin of the world. That's what happened. And he did it for us because he loved us. See, the cross guarantees salvation to all who respond to God's call. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. In Romans 3, verses 24 and 25, and you know, Andrew Whipper preached this message on why. And one of the verses that he used this as his closing verses. Being freely justified freely by his grace. He gives us a gift. God's not an Indian giver. He doesn't take it back. When you get a gift and you take it back, it wasn't a gift in the first place. God doesn't take it back. You can't lose it. There's nothing you can do to separate you from the what? Love of God. Bible says if it's of works, then it's not a faith. If it's not a faith, done. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's where propitiation comes in. He's redeemed us. We talked about what redemption is, being bought out of the slave market. Not to go back into it again. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ set you free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Why do we want to just play around with the world? We just use God as a fire insurance policy. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption of Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are what? Past. Through the forbearance of God. You know, sometimes we have a hard time putting up with our kids. Sometimes we have a hard time putting up with our spouse. Sometimes we have a hard time putting up with our neighbors or our relatives. Have you ever thought about God looking down from heaven and looking at us and what we do? Do we give God a hard time? Paul says, I don't frustrate the grace of God. You know, I read the Gospels, and these 12 are walking with Jesus, and they say some incredibly dumb things. There's some great spiritual truth in there, but most of the time they're really dumb. You know why? Because they're not thinking of that. And the crowds, you know, he starts teaching them in parables, so you have to dig out the deep things of God. We're supposed as a church to show those deep things of God. Why? So having eyes they see not, having ears they hear not. Do you understand what God's done for you on the cross? It should change the way you live. It should change your total outlook on what love really is all about. So the cross guarantees salvation for all who respond to God's call. So salvation begins with God's love. Salvation rests on the price paid by God's Son. And then lastly, salvation is attained by faith alone. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish. Believeth on him means this. It's not just looking at Christ as a fact. Believing says, I'm going to act on this knowledge and it's going to change my life. It's transferring trust into Christ alone for salvation and for heaven. It says, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. See, those who believe in Christ will not perish. Those who believe in Christ will not perish. You believe in God, believe also in me. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. 1 John 5:11 says this, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. It's not in another book like the Book of Mormon. It's not in some sayings like Confucian says. It's not in Buddha's books. It's in Christ's gospel in the Bible.
Amen.
Period. And in this day where truth is amorphous, we need to show the stark contrast of what biblical truth is to what the world thinks truth is.
Right.
See, Nicodemus knew nothing of this kind of assurance. He was religious but lost. Now Jesus assures him he can be saved, but what did Nicodemus have to do? Believe in Him. Believe He is who He is. Believe that He's going to go to the cross because He hadn't gone to the cross yet. What do we need to believe? We need to believe that He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried for 3 days. He rose again. Why is that important? Because on the cross He died for our sins. He took the sin payment there. He was in the grave to show that He was really dead. And then He rose again to show that He gives life, He has life, He is life. And He can give forgiveness of sins and give you eternal life. Remember when He was doing all of His miracles? Basically He said, your sins be forgiven. He says, which one's easier? Say, get up and walk? So one of the Paul's here, your sins are forgiven. Okay, I'll show you this. Get up and walk. What God says to do, He'll do. See, He was very religious, but lost. Now Jesus assures him that he could be saved, and his salvation will be by faith in Christ alone. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far away as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone.
Amen.
John 3:10. Christ says this. You're overthinking, Nicodemus. You're not paying attention to all the stuff. You're being stubborn in what you've been taught. Because in verse 10, he says, Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel? What? Knowest not this thing? This should be screaming out to you. All the things that I'm doing should be screaming out to you that I'm the Messiah. See, Nicodemus knew nothing of this kind of assurance. But Nicodemus got saved. Later on, he ministers to Christ. It changed. He left the crowd that he was in. He actually defended Christ and got beat down. He got canceled. There's nothing new in the world. They were canceling back then too. Don't believe like us? Ah! Out of you. Out you go. What did he say? Search for it. He didn't come out of Nazareth. You know, what great relief this must have been for Nicodemus to think about this. You know, our salvation experience should be something that lasts for a lifetime. Not just an emotional experience. Something that changes your life. You don't go out of these doors and say, I got saved, and then go out and do the exact same thing you did yesterday. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, before all things. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Do what? Good works. Yet your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What kind of glorifying of the Father are you doing? If you're not doing glorifying the Father, you're out of God's will.
Right.
You're kind of harsh about this. No, it's this black and white. It's this simple, folks. Let's not overthink this, and let's stop being stubborn. Let's do what God has told us to do. See, the same salvation is available to every sinner today. See, there's hope for every sinner to be saved. Here's a saving message for every church member to deliver. So now, the question is this. What will we do with this message of God's love? Do you believe it?
Yes.
Have you accepted the gift of grace and accepted his gift of salvation? Did you have a life-changing experience? A point where God came in your life and changed you. Stop playing around with this. You either know or you don't.
Right.
And if you don't, you need it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how many times you come forward before.
Right.
You don't know how many times you got wet before. If you don't have a relationship with Christ and you know inside you're playing the charade, stop it today and get saved. Believe what he did on the cross for you and ask him for forgiveness of sins. Believe that God raised him from the dead and confess him as your Savior. And the Bible says you'll be saved. For us Christian, are we living his love? Are we living it by example? Are we living it by expression? We need to do that. Are we showing the message of God's love? If not, we're out of God's will. Pure and simple. Let's get in God's will today and ask him to forgive us and show us the way to go and show us the people to talk to. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts, Lord. See if there be any wicked way in us. Lord, if someone needs salvation, Lord, I pray that that would happen today. That they would realize that they're a sinner and they would come forward and would show them how to get saved. Father, you made this simple. Help us, Lord, not to overthink. Help us, Lord, not to be stubborn. Let your word work in our hearts. Let your spirit have full reign. Take away all distractions. And Father, help us, Lord, to do business with you today in this time of invitation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.